All right, welcome back, everybody. Here we are again talking for the second time now about one of my favorite shows that I got into over quarantine, the History Channel's Alone, which is currently in the early stages of airing its eighth season Thursday nights at 9:30, again on the History Channel. And if you are new to Alone, you can get caught up on all the past seasons over on Hulu. And then there are a couple others over on Netflix and Amazon Prime. So really whatever you got going in the streaming department, you should be able to find yourself some of these seasons at the very least relatively quickly. Before we dive into what's been going on with season 8 and get into the spoiler zone, I don't want to immediately just ruin the happenings thus far for people who are not fully caught up. Does seem pertinent for anyone new to the program to flag up what exactly is Alone. And before we even get into those specifics, I will say that I have already done a podcast talking through the first six seasons in what was intended to be and what felt like about half an hour worth of sitting in my living room talking to myself. And then I stopped the recording and learned that I had gone 100 minutes. So if you would like about 100 minutes worth of coverage on those first six seasons for the Alone super fans out there, that podcast already exists on this very feed. So certainly feel free to go and find that at your leisure. Anyway, off to a horrible start here. I guess should potentially flag up, it's just going to be me this time yet again. This is not a show that Dom watches, and unfortunately a show that not many people that I know even watch, but has been one of my favorite discoveries in the last year or so. So, for anyone potentially interested in this sort of thing, I will do a quick rundown of what this show even is, and then I will flag up when we are getting into the spoiler zone so that anyone who wants to get caught up can do so. Alone is, long story short, 10 people go out into the northern Canadian wilderness. In this case, the locations vary from season to season. They are totally by themselves, as the title suggests, and no camera crews even. That's a common misconception. They film everything themselves. They are out there in complete isolation for as long as they can stay there. They have to build shelter, find whatever food they can, and just survive in the woods for as long as possible with no knowledge at any point of how many of their fellow competitors are still out there or how well any of them are doing. And gradually, they will one at a time be eliminated, and the last person left wins $500,000 in most cases. Season 7 was a bit of an exception for a couple of different reasons there, but having just rewatched Season 7 and having not discussed Season 7 in much detail in that first Alone podcast I did, we will table that for the time being, and I will probably come back in here relatively soon to recap Season 7 and maybe do some kind of grand scheme of Alone history sort of discussion. But for today, what we have in line is a pretty quick recap, hopefully, of what's been going on thus far in season 8. And then I am going to attempt to power rank the remaining competitors. So a couple other things just quickly before we get into all of that. I should probably clarify for people who are new to this sort of thing a couple of different things here. First of all, how do you get eliminated from this show? Well, you lose one of two ways. You lose either when you decide that you've had enough and you quit, or as it's called on the show, you tap out. And the other way is you can get pulled for like medical reasons every so often. I'm not actually even sure how often this happens, but they do go in and check on the contestants from time to time and do medical checks where if anyone has sustained any kind of serious injuries or most commonly still wants to be out there doing it, but the doctors deem that they have just lost too much weight and it would be a risk, it would be too risky for their health going forward, the medical team will occasionally pull people despite them not wanting to leave because it would just be too dangerous to let them continue. the locations, as I said, change from season to season. We've spent the last couple of seasons in the Arctic Circle, and here in season 8, it seems like we're in roughly the same kind of area, but this time it is Alone Grizzly Mountain. And we have certainly seen the grizzlies and other kind of wildlife make their presence known even in these early episodes. Multiple bear sightings through these first couple of weeks already, and I would imagine that is going to be something that continues over the course of this season. We will see, but that seems like a pretty safe bet based on the first month or so, I guess. Not even sure. Probably should have looked this up, how far they are into the season in terms of days played rather than how long it's taken for the episodes to air, but I would ballpark it probably somewhere in the like day 18 to 25-ish range as things stand right now. And with the exception of season 7, there is no like finish line. You just win when everyone else is gone. So could be a quick season. We could find everyone tapping out over the next 14 days of game time and someone wins on day 35, or potentially more likely, based on how well it looks like some of these people are doing, at the very least with the shelters to this point. I don't think I would be shocked if this ends up being the longest season Alone has ever done. It seems like we have some extremely legitimate contenders out there this time around. So, trying to come up with whatever else I need to get into before we hit the spoiler zone, I will, I guess, kind of repeat myself here and say I have been absolutely in love with this show ever since I found it. Shout out to my man Nick for the recommendation. That was a spot on pick there by him. I don't even remember exactly when it was, but I watched the, at the time, 6 seasons that existed very, very quickly. And now I've actually gone back and been rewatching some of those. I rewatched season 7 as well. And now, to prepare for this podcast, I've rewatched the first 4 episodes of season 8 just to make sure I'm not missing anything too substantial along the way here today. I will surely be getting into spoilers from what we've seen thus far on the current season, but will do my best, although can't make any kind of firm promises on treading gently on seasons 1 through 7 over the course of this conversation, just because I'm guessing not a ton of people have fully caught up on the franchise. But catching up on these 4 episodes for anyone who feels like this might be something they would be interested in, hopefully wouldn't take too long, and then you can enjoy, ideally, the conversation with myself that is about to go down here. And I think that's pretty much going to do it for kind of the preamble here. And we can now, I think, be getting into what we've seen so far on season 8 and the specific players that are involved, and acknowledging just the absolutely overwhelming chance that the following rankings are going to age horrendously and be like comically bad when everything is said and done here. I do find it an interesting intellectual exercise, I suppose, to try to come up with some sort of rankings for how good I'm feeling about people's winning chances to this point. And as I alluded to once already, the contestants on this season are absolutely bringing it to, at least potentially, an historic extent. We have some absolutely lights out shelters going on here. It seems like thus far a pretty even battle as far as like the food supply goes. No one really crushing it on that front to this point. And those are probably, I think, going to be the two main criteria for me along the way here. And it is certainly worth flagging up that, yeah, these shelters look excellent and people don't seem to be completely losing their minds or starving to death just yet. But at least if the last couple of seasons are any indication, this winter is going to be brutal. And they launched, I believe, in September of 2020. That was when they got dropped off at the location. Don't exactly know the schedule for weather forecasts, etc., But I would imagine the snow falling, the lake freezing, etc., is going to be a major, major difference maker. And getting to that stage and through that stage is going to be one of the defining elements of who ultimately ends up successful here. So shelter and food are going to be the two main things that I am focusing on as far as these power rankings go. Although I will flag up, I do think that reasons for being out there and things along those lines are certainly a non-negligible part of the equation, and at least in a couple of cases may play a role as kind of like a tiebreaker for me in terms of putting someone above someone else, is feeling good about what I'm hearing from them about why they want to be out there. Because we have certainly seen many, many times in the past that people get off to what appear to be extremely good starts, but for one reason or another, their heart compels them to say, I'd rather be back home. I want to go see my family, and I've gotten what I wanted out of this experience. So that will also be something that I will at the very least be bearing in mind when making these evaluations. And again, no one to this point, like, smashing it from the food department, to say the very least. I'm not sure if literally any of the contestants who are remaining are, like, thrilled about their nourishment as things stand right now. And I don't know if or when this is going to happen, but I will say, and now would be the time I should flag up, that we are entering the spoiler zone. Some specifics from season 8 will be discussed very shortly, so if you want to get caught up on those first 4 episodes before listening to the rest of this, now would be the time to do so. We are now in the spoiler zone, so be aware of that. I will say that it appears, based on the intro sequence, that somewhere along the way, and it's totally unclear who or how many people are going to be able to pull this sort of thing off, but it looks like big game will be had by at least one contestant this season. And I would like to, in my own defense, kind of preemptively here say, whoever ends up getting big game is automatically vaulting to the top of the power rankings, just because historically speaking, that does appear to be a pretty big difference maker. So with that sight still kind of unseen and all things more or less being equal, with a couple of exceptions that we'll get into as far as the food collection goes, let's dive in to how these people are stacking up and what they've been up to so far. And I once again feel compelled to say, we have got a large number of very, very serious contenders to this point. And I'm not going to, like, plant my flag on this idea, but I will frame it in terms of, I will not be surprised at all if we end up seeing a new record set for the number of days that these people end up staying out there, just because particularly the shelters this year, they found people who are absolutely bringing it and really know, or at least seem to know, as far as I can tell, what they are doing out there. And that is what I love to see. I love to see a good competitive season, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how the rest of this ends up playing out. So quickly, actually, before we get into the power rankings of the remaining contestants, and I'm already horrified again about how badly, almost invariably, these power rankings are going to end up aging. But what's the point of even podcasting if that's going to be a major concern for you here? I did want to quickly touch on the people we have lost to this point. So far, we have seen 2 people end up tapping, both of whom, it appeared to me at least, were doing a very, very good job and would be, under slightly different circumstances, potentially some serious winner contenders. 2 rock solid shelters based on what it appeared to me to be the case, what appeared to me to be the case in the TV episodes, from both Tim, I believe was his name, the first guy out, and Jordan, who we ended up losing in this most recent episode. We just had Tim suffer some pretty serious looking kind of heart or chest pain, and having been someone who had already suffered at least one heart attack over the course of his life previously and was pretty understandably, I would say, nervous about what he was feeling this time around and did not want to open the door to die out there, which is pretty justifiable. We saw him end up tapping fairly, I think it was day six, fairly early, but absolutely looked like, had that not been an issue, he could have been in there for the long haul for sure. And then I was floored this most recent week when we saw Jordan tap, who also had, I mean, truly one of the finest structures, shelters, I think I've seen in the history of Alone. But understandably, I think with everything that had gone on in his personal life, losing a very young daughter a couple of years ago and going out on Alone, thinking that it might be a good opportunity to kind of recalibrate and be fully self-reliant and get some good reflection time in there, came to the realization that, like, his family is just too crucial. His family back home is just too crucial in keeping his head on straight, and didn't want to keep going on without them and being able to look at them. And that, I think, is totally fair. And we ended up seeing him tap. I want to say it was like day 19 or so. So those two guys already out of the way here. I am largely inclined to chalk a lot of that up to just bad luck and completely fluke circumstances, unlike some of the other early boots we have seen in past seasons. So with that, I think let's get into these eight that we have remaining here. And of course, I am now immediately like second guessing all of my rankings here and worried that I'm going to put someone very high on the list and we're going to show up next week and they're going to fail hilariously. And actually, to once again kind of give myself some leeway here, I do think it is pertinent to flag up, as any fan of the show is surely going to recognize, it doesn't even matter how strong of a job you appear to be doing in some cases. Every single day out there on Alone could be the one where some fluke injury happens or some animal comes too close to your shelter and that's the end of your time there. There is a wild amount of variance on that on this show. Most notably for me, and I will refrain from using specifics here, the one that stands out is the very beginning of season five. An all-time contender on Alone just has one fluke thing, seemingly completely unavoidable, happen to them, and that's the end of their game. And despite clearly being one of the front runners there, it's just like over in 3 days, and every single day out there on Grizzly Mountain could be the one that turns an overwhelming front runner into the latest person to tap. So we will see. Who, if anyone, ends up falling victim to that sort of thing on this season. But as things stand right now, here is how I am feeling about the remaining eight contenders in the cast. And again, this is being recorded after the fourth episode at a point where, at least as far as I can tell, no one seems to be like crushing it in the food department, which is a major, major piece of making it far on Alone. And I am positive that that sort of thing is going to change along the way. But all else being equal at this point, I will say that my number one contender through the first 4 weeks, and should probably preface this by saying that there may be some kind of personal bias going into this evaluation, because this is a person that I really like as a narrator and as a character, and I feel pretty comfortable saying is my number one rooting interest at this point as well. In the number one spot, I am going to go with Biko. And hopefully, by the way, I am pronouncing that name correctly. I certainly, if I had been covering season seven as it was airing, would have been routinely in here pronouncing Kylan's name incorrectly. Shout out to Colby Donaldson of Survivor fame for doing those reunion shows, or not reunion shows, but kind of post-episode interviews with the cast and helping me out with that pronunciation there. So I am going with Biko at number one and going with Biko as the pronunciation of that, although I am very ready to be proven wrong on both of those counts. And first and foremost, the primary consideration for me, for everyone, is The Shelter. And as we will be getting into, I think a ton of people are crushing it this season as far as that is concerned. And Biko is absolutely among that group. And then furthermore, what I think separates Biko from the pack for me is he has talked multiple times, and it has made air multiple times, not to go like all edgic on Alone, because I don't think there's a ton to that necessarily, although who knows, maybe I'll rewatch these and we'll find some hard data on visibility, etc., that could point us in the right direction there. Biko has spoken repeatedly about quitting his job to come out on this show and viewing this as essentially his job now, and that tapping out is simply not an option on the table for him because he has unborn twins on the way with a pregnant wife or girlfriend or maybe fiance, I don't know, back home. And he's all in, essentially, on this being the way that he is able to provide for them. And again, based on everything we've seen to this point, other than perhaps an unnecessary swim across the bay and back, it seems like he's off to essentially just as good a start as anyone else is as far as the major factors are concerned. And when I hear someone say, tapping is simply not an option for me, I'm never going to do it, that is going to get you some points. Now, again, maybe he's going to change his mind once winter rolls in, and maybe he's going to be one of the people who falls victim to some just kind of random fluke that takes him out of the game somewhere down the line. But I definitely like to hear from any contestant on Alone that tapping is simply not something I'm even going to consider. Whereas we will get to pretty much everyone else left in the cast who already had either has children of their own or has people back home that they are missing dearly. Maybe not literally everyone has gotten the opportunity to talk about that yet, but this is certainly something that we have seen play a major role in pretty much every season of Alone, is at least one or two people end up quitting because they would just rather be back home with their family and the people that they love. Whereas for Biko, and I think this is a major advantage out there, this is staying out there is the way that he satisfies himself as things pertain to his family and his future children, etc. Furthermore, trying to figure out how to frame this, but we have heard a couple of times from a couple of different people that if this does become like a who can starve for the longest contest, which we have certainly seen many seasons in the past essentially become, where no one gets big game and it's a matter of who is able to not lose a dangerous amount of weight before the season ends, Biko appears to be one of the front runners as far as that is concerned. And I mean that in a good way. And he has talked about, like, listen, I'm going to try to get fish, I'm going to try to get big game, but if all else fails, I'll lose 100 pounds out here. I will just starve myself. I don't want to do that, but it is at least something that is on the table for him. Not literally losing 100 pounds, but over the course of the history of Alone, bigger guys certainly seem to be playing with a pretty sizable upper hand. If it does get to that point where just no one is able to get much food. So along those lines, I am feeling good about Biko as well. And then not entirely related to the actual survival elements of it all, but as I alluded to at the top of this segment, Biko has been really doing it for me as far as just a TV presence is concerned, a really fun narrator. He's out there singing songs. He's making a bone nose ring. He's got the troll shiv that he forged in the fire. And would love to just see him on my TV for at least the foreseeable future. Even my liking of Biko is potentially subject to change here. But as things stand right now, rooting for this guy and feeling very good about him, unless he is just wholly unable to get food by the time winter rolls around, which is going to be a very tough thing to make it through for literally anyone out here. Final note on Biko is, I believe it is the case, he is the only person in this cast in their 20s. He is 29 years old. Pretty much everyone else is like 40 plus, which is something I like to say. Not literally everyone, but I think we have Coulter at 35-ish and Teresa's 39. I think everyone else is 40 or above. All extremely experienced wilderness survivalists. So that is just, as someone coming from a survivor and other similar kind of reality TV kind of background, a pretty shocking kind of event for me, but I love to see it. I've always been someone advocating strongly and loudly and annoyingly for Survivor to be casting at least a slightly older demographic of players. And I think on a show like Alone, it's pretty much paramount that you are putting people out there who have essentially a lifetime of experience in living in the outdoors. So there is Biko at number one, and again, fully prepared to show up next week and Biko is tapping like 15 minutes in, but hoping for the best for this guy. At number two, I think I am going to go with Clay. And the main reason for that is, to this point, I feel like Clay has been the one that we have seen kind of most aggressively pursuing big game, or at least making air in aggressively pursuing big game. I want to say he's the guy who got a grouse like right away on one of the very early days. I believe he is the guy who in his home life is like a professional bow and arrow constructor and shooter or something. I think his like home life segment featured him making his own like pristine bow and arrow. And I would imagine he is quite proficient in that area, unless I'm confusing him with someone else, in which case apologies on that front. Furthermore, extremely good shelter and really, really, really liked his move that we saw, I think probably in the premiere episode, where he's kind of gaming the system here with his bright pink triple XL underwear that he brought, where all the contestants are allowed to bring 10 additional items with them on top of the stuff that they get for like clothes and safety. And each contestant is allowed to bring two pairs of underwear, and without it counting against one of your 10 items. And so what he ended up doing is bringing the oversized underwear in a very bright color that would not count against him as one of his items, but he could just forego having a second pair of underwear and use that as a fish bag to hang up in the trees, or just food storage bag that he can see very easily and that will hold no problem. Loved that a lot, and could honestly see that being a recurring thing in future seasons in the form of people using their like default items that they get to bring as kind of a tactical mechanism to do better in the game. So liked that a lot. I think pretty much everything I've seen out of Clay to this point. He's got, I think, a wife and some kids back home. So historically, that's kind of been a double-edged sword where, yes, you absolutely have a ton to be playing for out there, but could certainly see a situation where he has gotten whatever he wants to get out of the experience and decides that that wife and family is something he would rather be doing than being out surrounded by grizzly bears in the freezing cold. So we will see which way that ends up going. But as things stand right now, feeling very, very good about Clay as well. And I should certainly clarify, awful, terrible, need Dom here to yell at me for that, because that was not what we need to be doing here. And now I've further, I've distracted myself from what I was about to say, so we will just set that aside. I'm not going to go through and edit anything out of this podcast, but if I were, that would be the thing that I would edit out, so sorry about that. I don't remember what I need to clarify anymore, but we will move it along, I guess. This is awful, but here we go. Number three on my board as things stand right now, and this may be the one exception to everyone kind of being on roughly equal footing as far as food goes to this point. If I had to give the nod to anyone, and maybe giving this person the nod should kind of by default bump them further up my power rankings here, I am going to go with Coulter, who we recently saw complete and take out his boat that he has made from wood, like trees, and one of the tarps that he brought. It seems sturdy, seems airtight as things stand right now, despite him dropping his knife on the tarp a couple of times. That was a very funny scene. Like this guy, incidentally, a lot as a narrator and kind of a character as well. But the fish that it seems like he may be able to get by being able to be mobile out there on the water certainly seems like, at least through the first four episodes, probably the best we're seeing out of this whole group as far as prospects for food are concerned. And if he is able to get out there on the lake and pull a lot of things in ahead of time, that could be a massive game-changing kind of advantage in his favor. At the same time, that lake is going to freeze. We've historically seen some people get a lot of fish and still end up starving out there. And again, winter is coming here. So the window of opportunity may be closing more rapidly than is being noticed at this point. And furthermore, having a boat that floats has not always been all that it's cracked up to be. We have seen plenty of people wind up taking a swim, which he himself has flagged up as a concern of his own. So we will see which way that ends up going. And then my one concern about Coulter is he didn't bring a ferro rod. He didn't bring a fire starter this season, I think, making him only the second contestant in the history of the show, although I may be forgetting about someone else, to not have help with making fire and just using a bow drill is what it's called, where you do it with just the wood. He cited the reason for that as, well, I'm just as bad with a ferro rod as I am with a bow drill, so may as well make a bow drill and not have one of the items counting against me in the form of a ferro rod. If memory serves, the first guy who didn't bring a ferro rod ended up being eliminated because he was too good at making fire, but gotta have some kind of concerns as the season changes as far as fire goes for Coulter, and with the boat kind of negating that, and maybe I'm doing some unfair math there, maybe a boat is worth much more than a ferro rod ever could be, especially since it seems like so far he's been doing fine enough as far as the fire goes. I'm very comfortable putting Coulter relatively near the top, but not like running away with it, despite having a pretty big edge with the boat to this point. And furthermore, as far as Coulter is concerned, I would say probably the scene of the season to this point for me is Coulter stripping down, I think getting fully nude to like take a bath essentially in the lake, and then having a giant grizzly bear stumble upon his camp and not seem to caught up on Coulter's demands that the bear leave. Hey, bear, get out of here, bear. Bear did not seem too worried about Coulter until he started firing off the bear banger gun. And so that was very good stuff with Coulter just fully nude, having to deal with probably the most horrifying experience of his life to that point. Thankfully, though, crisis averted. Coulter still appearing to be in pretty good shape out there. So let's move along. And I'm now kind of recognizing that Some of these rankings may have to do with just recency bias in terms of which episodes I've seen the most recently. A lot of these were storylines from the most recent episode at the time of this recording, episode 4. But in the next spot for me here, I am going to go with Nate, the big beard military vet guy that we most recently saw put up a very impressive looking kind of dock for himself after struggling the first time with getting it into the water. It looks like that mission has been accomplished here. And furthermore, I feel very good about him viewing this with his military background as just kind of the latest mission that he's on. And he's spent a lot of time away from his wife and 5 kids during his time in the military. So probably less vulnerable than the average kind of family person to tap along those lines. And furthermore, another pretty big dude out here, which seems, again, historically to be the demographic to be in, just kind of in the dark on alone. Although, seems to be a lot of muscle on Nate compared to, like, the fat reserves that you would generally want there. So we'll see how that ends up playing out. Probably a dude who is used to consuming a lot more calories than he is currently getting. So liking for sure what I've seen out of him as far as the shelter goes and as far as that dock that he just put in is concerned. But again, that lake is going to freeze, and I don't know. I guess you can probably do some ice fishing as well, but the dock itself probably going to go down in value as the season goes on. But certainly to this point, it seems like off to a pretty promising start out there. So there is Nate at number 4, and at number 5, I am going to go with Teresa, who, incidentally, the first, I believe, gotta be, the first, I would remember if there were another one, the first British contestant on Alone, and I'm gonna need you guys out there who have made it to this point in the podcast to be cool, and if she ends up winning this season, don't tell Dom. Don't tell Dom that a British person strolled onto Alone after 8 seasons and ended up just crushing it. So he's going to take way too much pride in that. So we can't have that happen. You guys, don't be snitches here. If Teresa wins, radio silence as far as Dom is concerned. But I am really, really liking Teresa to this point. We've got to see, again, in this most recent episode, a bit from her. And that shelter, the pit shelter, I think the first ever underground may be the wrong word, but at least subterranean, which may just be Latin or whatever for underground shelter, appears to be very prepared for whatever wind and whatever snow may end up coming her way. So like to see that a lot, especially as things pertain to efficiency, which you got to talk about a bit, really retaining the heat and not needing to chop and burn a ton of firewood that we have certainly seen be an issue for people in the past. Again, calories and the amount of fat reserves you have to burn going in generally play a pretty big role, and Teresa is one of the smaller people on the cast here, so love to see her thinking along those lines. Of course, is going to be a major factor, and it seems like doing a stellar job at anticipating that that could be an issue for her down the line and wanting to get way, way, way ahead of that. So feeling very, very good about Teresa there. Maybe a lazy comparison here because she seems to be pretty short and has kind of a similar haircut, but I'm getting some Denise Stapley energy from Teresa, and I mean that in a very, very good way. So loving, at least to this point, what she has got going as far as the shelter is concerned. Again, winter rolling in is a major, major consideration for me, and I am tempted to put her at number 1 in the most winter ready kind of shelters that I've seen to this point, although certainly while she has done a good job kind of fortifying it as best she can, just, again, as a Survivor fan who is familiar with the Saboga tribe in season 8, any kind of underground shelter is going to make me a little bit nervous about Rain. But I absolutely feel a lot better about Teresa and her construction abilities than I do about Rupert. So, liking Teresa a lot, certainly pulling for her out there. So, moving on, we have next in line for me, I am going to go with Matt, who certainly seems very experienced at living outdoors. I think he said he spent like several years living in a primitive shelter, spent a year or so using nothing but like stone tools just in his own life. So it seems to me like he feels very comfortable in this environment, although has flagged up some concerns about generally being out there with his wife or girlfriend. And I don't know necessarily, at least, how acclimated he is to just kind of the sheer isolation. So that is one concern that I have. And then we also saw very early on, he had that like brush fire or whatever at his camp. He got through that. He had the mouse chewing through his bowstring on his bow. He got through that. But there are at least reasons to be nervous about fortune not necessarily breaking Matt's way in the early goings. And I would imagine that the early days when you are at your most kind of energized are very crucial to hopefully kind of avoid unforced errors or just random bad luck and not be spending a bunch of calories needlessly. And maybe I should reconsider now having Biko at the top of my list after swimming a mile and a half or whatever, and just for no reason, just burning calories. But Matt, to this point, appears to have a good shelter, but just not able to catch many breaks as things stand right now. But who, you know, if he gets big game, or if any of these people get big game, they would be automatically vaulted to number one on the power rankings. And there have certainly been cases over the course of the history of Alone where people are very deliberately made to be looking to get off to kind of a rougher start than the rest of the pack, but trudging their way all the way to the end. So Matt is coming in at number 6 for me. And as a side note on Matt, very much like this guy's vibe. I think he's out there hopefully having fun and feeling good. So there is Matt at number 6. And in now looking at the last two people on the list here, I like, my heart feels bad doing this, but it just is the reality of the situation that smaller people are going to have a harder time on this kind of show, especially those without a ton of extra calories to burn. And I have Rose and Michelle, the two remaining women, besides Teresa, here at the bottom of my list. Although, again, want to flag up, I don't think anyone in this cast is even close to like drawing dead at this point. They're just, and I'll get into them each individually, but I feel like what we have seen out of them in the segments that they have gotten have been more, and in the same boat as Matt here, have been more about things not going great for them than them being out there like crushing it through the early days. But again, no kind of like reliable edit reading or whatever, at least that I've been able to come up with at this point. So very, very willing to be hilariously wrong about either of these two. But as things stand right now, they would be rounding out the list for me. So I guess at number 7, I'm going to go with Rose, who has an excellent shelter, it looks like. But we did see in her first segment feeling sick right away, which I just can't talk myself into that being a great sign. And the same goes for Michelle, where they either ate the wrong thing or something was going on where they both were shown, at least in the early days, not feeling at their best, to say the very least. And in this pool of players, most of whom seem to be out there, while not like crushing the food department, at least feeling very good about their situations, it's certainly going to stand out to me for in the forms of Matt, Rose, and Michelle, that getting off to, or at least being shown to get off to a subpar start that's really taking you by surprise and taking the wind out of your sails early is just not where you want to be on alone. But at least in the case of Rose, she, I believe, is the one who has extensive experience hunting with a bow and arrow in her real life. I'm certainly going to butcher whatever the accomplishment is called, but she is either already done with or well on her way to having taken down every species, every type, to play it safe, of big game that exists in North America with a bow and arrow just in her life back home. So that is certainly something to keep in your back pocket as far as big game is concerned. But I just feel like calorically speaking, both Rose and Michelle are probably going to need to get big game to make it the distance here. So that would be my tiebreaker, putting Rose there at number 7 and then Michelle at number 8, who, again, I still feel extremely good about. She has also spent a lot of time living outdoors. And incidentally, from Maine, you love to see it. Maine's own Michelle here rounding out the list for me. It is merely a function of her, I think it was her eating what she thought was one thing, but turned out to be water hemlock, I think it was called. And I don't know exactly what water hemlock is. I do know what hemlock is. And anything called water hemlock is probably not something that one would be thrilled about finding out they have been ingesting during their time on alone. But again, certainly by no means having her even too far below the rest of the pack. She just seems like the smallest person in the cast, and that is a big difference maker on a show like this. But great shelter, great looking shelter, at least for now. I will say I'm, as things stand today, a bit more nervous about Michelle's shelter, the Michelter. God, sorry. More nervous about that just because I believe it is like an A-frame with open air on either side. I'm guessing she will make some alterations over the course of the season, but compared to at least some of the others that seem like historically strong and already fully prepared for winter to roll in, Michelle gives me the most concern along those lines, but still drawing plenty live as far as I'm concerned. And I believe it is just a matter of what we've gotten to see from Michelle at this point being her not feeling great and not a whole lot else. So very liable to change as recently or as soon as recently is fine. As this very next episode, we could see her get fish or get some kind of big game and be very, very much in the mix. But, you know, someone is, of course, going to be the bottom of the power rankings. And I feel very good about Alone being the kind of show where being last on some idiot podcaster's list through the first 8 episodes is by no means game over. Anything can happen on this show. And certainly pulling for Michelle out there to take it home for the great state of Maine. What else do we want to be getting to in this podcast? Thankfully, I am looking at the clock and have done my best to keep it at least less long than last time. And while may have kind of overshot my estimated time this time around, hopefully this is a pretty easily digestible podcast for everyone out there, unlike the water hemlock that Michelle has been trying to digest herself. But I guess I will just wrap by saying absolutely loving this season thus far. Loving, incidentally, that they are no longer doing the 100-day thing that we saw in season 7. When I did that first podcast talking through seasons 1 through 6, that was, I think, during the very beginning of when season 7 was airing. And I flagged up the concern that when people know they have to go 100 days or there is no prize money to be won, I think that's a pretty big and honestly pretty bad alteration to the game format, where it could potentially compel people to quit sooner, to drastically sooner than they otherwise would. And I think we saw that play out in at least a couple of cases where people were doing at least well enough and had decent shelters going and saying, I don't need to tap right now, but I know if I got to get to day 100, I am not going to be able to either mentally and or physically get to that benchmark, and I'm just going to call it early because I know it's a moot point. Well, why torture myself by staying out here for another month if there's no shot at winning in that time frame? I think we saw a couple people quit in like the 50 day 50 ish kind of range, where at least in any other season you could pretty conceivably talk yourself into that being pretty close to the home stretch, and if I just stick it out for another month, I could easily walk out of here the winner. So very happy to see that we're back to the classic format there. And the other thing that I will note, and I may or may I'm gonna put it out there, I will come back in and talk through season 7 in a bit more detail. And for anyone who has made it this far in the podcast, I am guessing you are a pretty big fan of Alone and may have seen all of the seasons, or at least most of them. I think somewhere, hopefully sometime soon, I will come in for a recap of season 7 and a purely arbitrary and reductive all-time winner rankings of Alone. I will tease that now and hopefully not fail to deliver on that promise, but that is something I would be interested in doing. And I think the 100-day thing, to return to my previous thought, also went a long way in detracting from the best part of the show, which is the winner reveal, where someone is giving what they think is just a standard confessional to the producers during a med check, and then they get tapped on the shoulder, turn around and see it's their loved one from home filling them in on the fact that it's over, you've won, we can go home now, and we're rich. I think that whole process was greatly hindered by the fact that the winner, who shall remain nameless, was able to wake up on day 100 and know, okay, this is it, I've won. So very happy that we are back in the OG format here. Very happy with the state of the competition thus far. I'm going to be honest, not too happy with my rankings overall. As I have flagged up a couple of times, I see virtually no scenario where these end up aging super well, but we will see, and we will see what happens with the rest of season 8 of Alone. As I said, I will hopefully be back in here relatively soon to recap season 7, since I missed that one in that first podcast, but I did just recently rewatch it, and why not get some thoughts out there, and then do at least some quick all-time kind of greatest winner rankings, although those rankings, like these very power rankings we have gone through today, are in no way intended to be scientific and are probably going to be just deeply flawed inherently. But listen, we're doing this for the love of the game, the love of the show. So I think that is going to wrap it up for me here today. Anyone somehow who has found this podcast and who would be interested in continuing with me along on this journey, subscribe to this very podcast feed. This is where any future Alone content will be had. I am on Twitter at Colin Stone, and we will see what we can do about getting some more people caught up on this show, and maybe someday have a guest or two on to talk some Alone with me. Although I do like the thematic element of just being here by myself doing this, but I think for today that is plenty. So again, Thursdays 9:30, probably anyone who has made it this far already knows that, but thank you guys for sticking with me through this podcast. Excited to see how the rest of this season ends up playing out. Hope you guys are as well. And we will be back in here relatively soon talking some more Alone, I am sure, because honestly, in rewatching a bunch of these seasons, I think I'm just falling more and more in love with this show. So more Alone content coming down the line. I don't know that it's going to be like an every week situation, but at least some intermittent kind of catchings up, to use the hopefully correct pluralization in a non-ironic way for once, to round out this podcast every few weeks or so. I'm guessing we're going to have the traditional 11 episode structure here. So maybe we'll do it again after like episode 7 or 8. And then again, once the season is wrapped, but finally, I think that's going to do it for me here today. Yeah, let's call it there. So I can't come up with anything else that seems super pertinent to flag up. Thank you guys, of course, for sticking with me this far. Enjoy this Thursday's episode. We will talk soon. Take care, everybody.